Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in tonight until 10 o'clock. Thanks so much for staying up with us this evening. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We've got one interview coming up in the next segment, but otherwise, as you know, when I'm in here for At Your Service, phone lines are always open, truly on any topic. If you want to stick to the topic that we're talking about, obviously that's preferred. But, you know, it's like the phrase AMA now on the internet, ask me anything. I don't care. I'm game for just about anything. So that's the way it is here on At Your Service on KMOX, at least when I'm in a studio. Hey, today is National Electronic Greeting Day. I don't even know what that means. I was reading that today and I thought, is that you're supposed to text somebody that you like? You send them an e-vite or an e-card? I don't even know what that means. There's so many of these crazy days. But I would ask, though, if you want to celebrate Electronic Greeting Day, send me a text throughout the show. I always text back as much as I possibly can during the show, 314-436-7900. This is the first time I've been in here on KMOX since Thanksgiving. Matt Pajeski, how'd your Thanksgiving go?
It was fantastic. The amount of food was disgusting, but I enjoyed it. Put me in a food coma for a few hours, watch some good football.
That's good.
Can't beat it.
Boy, there was a lot of good football on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. It's usually it's like the Thanksgiving tradition to watch the Lions lose. Mm-hmm. So enjoy that as always. My uncle was from Michigan and he's always holding out for him, but it was not the year for them once again.
Nope. And we're all happy about that. At least a lot of us are. I was looking at some Babylon Bee headlines today. And before I get to these, I just want to mention, I don't think I've told this story before, but when I was in college down in Carbondale, I started working for the college radio station. And I did it for about a month, and then I got bored and I quit. But the point being is, for that month, here's what I did. And I thought it was hilarious, but there's a lot of things that I think are funny and a lot of people don't. So I understand that. But what I would do is I would go out and get this paper. Matt, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I don't even know if it's still in publication, but it was called the Weekly World News. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It was one of those rag newspaper magazines that you would see at the checkout at the grocery store. And they always had outrageous, outrageous stories. There's nothing in there that's true. And the only reference that you might know about is in at the end of... Actually, it's at the beginning and the end of the first Men in Black movie.
Okay.
Tommy Lee Jones says that he would always buy these magazines at the grocery store because they had tips on how to find aliens. and of course, in the context of the MIB, it turned out that a lot of them were true, because a lot of the Weekly World News magazines, the covers and the stories, always dealt with aliens.
Gotcha.
So the three headlines that I remember most, and these are all actual headlines from the Weekly World News. Woman claims to be Bigfoot's love slave was one. President Kennedy inspected UFO crash in 1947. Actual headline. And my favorite of all time, Hillary Clinton gives birth to alien baby. Hmm. And they had a picture of Hillary holding this alien looking baby, right?
Yeah.
Nothing in here is true.
but they were funny.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is I would get one of these, and I would go to the college radio station, and for the lunch hour break, it would be playing through all the dormitories in the on SIU Carbondale. I would read these stories, but I would read them straight. I wouldn't mock them. I would do it just like master newsman Sean Michael Lyle. And I would go in and I would, what I would do is I would go in and say, today in the news, Hillary Clinton gave birth to an alien baby. Doctor reports say both Hillary and the alien are doing fine, and they're bringing in food for the alien baby from the planet Xanadar. And I would just read it straight. And I thought it was funny. Nobody else thought it was funny. So I understand that. That's okay. That's not a problem. But these were my five favorite headlines today from Babylon Bee. First of all, Tim Cook says he's ready to pull Twitter from the App Store once President Xi Jinping in China gives him the order to do so. Now, I think that's funny. In World Cup soccer, video highlights of today's USA victory over Iran last a mere 4 seconds.
Yep.
Okay. Now, again, I love it that our soccer team is doing well. But the highlight reel for a soccer game is like 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It was, I mean, one goal today. The game before that, I think, was a 0-0 tie.
0-0. Nil-nil. Yeah. You got to use the right terminology.
Technically, there's no highlights, right? But in a 0-0 game, I mean.
They show a couple of kicks. They show some blocks. I mean, you can watch the highlight reel in like 30 seconds and still not see a score.
Right.
So I think that one is rather good. And also, this one, to me, since we mentioned Thanksgiving, really hit home to me. And this was the headline, Man Hits Fitness Goal of Only Gaining 9 Pounds Over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my fitness goal.
That sounds about right.
Only gain 9 pounds.
Yeah.
And so while those weekly world news were mostly not true, we're not really sure if Hillary gave birth to an alien baby or not, but the rest of them are obviously false. It seems like the Babylon Bee, more often than not, can actually be rather accurate. Hey, coming up after this break, we're going to talk to Dr. Stephen Allen. He's the vice chairman of the Conservative Caucus. He's also a senior fellow at the Capital Research Center. He's a prolific writer, and I had a chance today just to schedule an interview with him, so I took it because I've always wanted to talk to him, and tonight we get the chance. So stick around after this break. Dr. Stephen Allen here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to At Your Service here on KMOX. Brad Young in with you this evening. Dr. Stephen Allen, he's a guy that I've admired for a long time. He's the vice chairman of the Conservative Caucus and a senior fellow at the Capital Research Center. And he wrote an excellent piece for the Daily Caller recently on why populism follows the path. It was charted really by Ronald Reagan. So I wanted to talk to him about that. Dr. Stephen Allen, he's also written for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Newsday, the Washington Times, many more. And now he's here on KMOX. Dr. Stephen Allen, welcome to KMOX St. Louis.
Great to be with you.
Hey, you wrote a piece recently about J.D. Vance, who is now the senator-elect from Ohio, and you made the comparison to some extent comparing him to Ronald Reagan. What similarities do you see between J.D. Vance and Ronald Reagan?
Well, you know, in 1976, I'm actually old enough. I was working as a young aide in the Reagan campaign back in 75 and 76. And during that period, future President Reagan would talk about how big business was not the friend of the conservative movement, that it was sometimes on the other side of issues, and that the establishment was really something that we needed to worry about. And the Republican Party, he gave a speech in 1977 where he said that the Republican Party should be the party of the men and women who work in the factories, the cop on the beat, the farmer, people like that. And that was his goal, to make the Republican Party like that. And then J.D. Vance comes along and with hillbilly elegy sort of represents the working class people in this country and ran a campaign based on that and was successful.
Well, that's interesting because I've never really heard that, Dr. Allen, that Reagan made those comments about big business, because we can certainly see it today. And I was around the 70s. I'm younger than you, but I think I was eating Oreos watching Scooby-Doo at the time. But still, I knew that a lot of times that big business wasn't necessarily the friend of conservatism or the friend of Republicans. But now what we see, and I think this is an amazing trend I want to get into with you, because when I was a kid, the Democrat Party was more of the party of the middle-class working families. But yet today, it seems like the Republicans are now appealing and speaking to middle America rather than the elites of our society.
Oh, yeah. And as far as the Democratic Party walking away from working people, you know, people remember when Barack Obama talked about the bitter clingers, you know, those people clinging bitterly to their guns and their religion in those parts of the country that were economically disadvantaged. And sort of ridiculing them, and that's how a lot of even the liberal commentators, they said that he shouldn't have said that sort of thing. And then by 2012, when he's running for re-election, Thomas Edsel in the New York Times wrote about how that the re-election campaign for Obama was the first time that the Democratic Party had explicitly decided to abandon what he called the white working class, but I think it applies to all working class people. And so one of the most amazing things that I dug up in my research was that around that time, some of the Democrats realized they were in trouble if they walked away from the working class. So they started a thing called the Bobby Kennedy Project. The idea being to go back to the ideals of Bobby Kennedy, who cared about working class people, and they had to abandon it because, as one of the people involved said, he said the cost of being being allied with those people was just too much. Too many of our partners couldn't stand that the cost of being allied with those working class people.
Wow. Yeah, wow, that's very insightful. We're talking to Dr. Stephen Allen, vice chairman of the Conservative Caucus, senior fellow at the Capital Research Center. And in your article on J.D. Vance, Dr. Allen, you mentioned you use the term populism, and populism is a term we hear a lot today. When I was studying political science and getting my undergraduate political science degree, we studied populism, and Teddy Roosevelt was also a very well-known populist president. But how would you define populism?
Yeah, it really goes back to the beginning of the country. The Declaration of Independence talks about all men are created equal, and by men they meant people. They didn't mean just the males. And if you read Jefferson's draft, he actually talks about including the enslaved people in that group. He refers to them as men and refers to slavery as the execrable commerce in men and so on. So this idea of equality, of abolishing slavery, abolishing aristocracy, and anything else where people are sort of born into their station in life, that goes back to the early days of the country. And in fact, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, during the period of leading up to the Civil War and during the Civil War, referred to what Jefferson had written and said that that was their touchstone. That was the basis for what they believed. And then you saw that develop over the years. There would be various working class and small business class revolts against the establishment. You saw that in the late 1800s. So there is a long populist tradition. And the amazing thing to me about how the elites deal with this today is they use the term populist as basically almost a curse word.
Interesting.
The American Enterprise Institute, which for many years was the conservative think tank back before there was, say, a Heritage Foundation, and yet they have an anti-populist project that they do, get this, in collaboration with the Center for American Progress, which is Hillary Clinton's think tank.
My goodness.
And they team up with them to fight the populists. So the thing we have to remember is that, you know, populism is part of the American tradition. It's basically equality of everybody. You shouldn't be better, seen as better than other people because of the way you're born. And then particularly the interests of working class people, of small business class people who don't have a lot of political power, who are being squeezed out because the Democratic Party has become essentially, the party of the very privileged people. And then they rely on, people on public assistance and so forth to provide them for their votes. But even that's falling apart because as people get jobs, all those Hispanics were supposed to come in and vote Democrat. But then it turns out these are people who like to work hard and advance themselves. And so they're starting to vote more conservative and more Republican to the great chagrin of the of the Democrats and the left.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Allen. And Dr. Allen, you also wrote recently at townhall.com along the same line of elitism and so forth. But you also mentioned that the Democrat Party uses class warfare. And you described in detail how this strategy of putting people in groups is really done to marginalize people. But give us some examples of how Democrats do this. And I know you're going to give some examples that we're going to relate to because we see it so often in the mainstream media. But give us some examples.
Well, obviously race is a big thing.
Yes.
They believe in putting people into racial categories, identity politics. So if you're in a certain race, if you're, you're supposed to vote a certain way, if you're a woman, you're supposed to vote a certain way, or if you're gay, you're supposed to vote a certain way. Things that they put you in those in those notches, and you're not supposed to move from there. You're not supposed to be independent in your thought. They get really upset. You'll notice whenever there's a political candidate who's a conservative or Republican, who's African-American, who's a woman, who's Hispanic, that any group that they claim to have control over, they get really upset and they will target
Yes.
those people more than someone who's not in those categories.
Yeah, we saw that during the presidential campaign whenever Joe Biden said, if blacks don't vote for me, then you're not black. And Tim Scott had a very strong retort to that. But isn't that a good example of what you just said about putting people in groups and then telling you to stay in your lane?
Oh, yeah. You see somebody, let's say Herman Cain, for example, who ran for president. There were things that were said about him that they wouldn't have said about someone who was in the white category. They'll go after an African-American in ways that they won't. J.C. Watts ran for Congress in Oklahoma, they dug up pictures of him when he was in high school and had an afro, and they put that in newspaper ads. The Democrats did. I had a friend who was a dark-skinned person from originally from Pakistan who had served very honorably in a high position in the Department of Homeland Security. He runs for the legislature in Virginia, in the area where the Washington Post is the main newspaper. And they ran ads where they photoshopped him to look like he was trying to help people stay in the country illegally. And they made sure everybody saw his face because he was a dark-skinned person. And he ended up losing by about, I think it was 150 votes or something. Would have been the first person of his background to ever be in the Virginia legislature. And the Washington Post was fine with that. They never commented on it. They endorsed his opponent and so on. So there's this idea among elites that, you know, you can't get, I think some people have said, off the reservation or off the plantation. You're not allowed to do that.
And you know what comes to mind there is, again, I mentioned Tim Scott, and there were so many examples in this election cycle. There was a congresswoman from South Texas who is Hispanic, and she was not allowed to be, and she won in a runoff election, and she wanted to be in the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and they wouldn't let her in. Because she was a Republican, even though her parents were immigrants, she was clearly Hispanic, but the Congressional Hispanic Caucus wouldn't even allow her to be in that group.
Right. And I remember back during at the height of the Tea Party movement and when they were accusing the Tea Party, oh, they're just white supremacists and so forth. In fact, I did a study at the time. There were 11 people who were either governors or senators who were not in the white category. And of those, 7 were Republicans, 6 of those were conservatives, and 5 of those were actually recruited by the Tea Party to run for office. So there were more people of so-called of color who were recruited by the Tea Party to run for governor or senator and got elected than there were Democrats.
Amazing, amazing. Hey, we're talking to Dr. Stephen Allen, and last question for you, Dr. Allen. We've talked about how the Democrat Party is really moving away from issues that matter to most Americans. And it occurred to me that right now, and this is not a made-up figure, that we have between 2 and 3 million immigrants entering this country illegally every year now. And just 2 weeks ago, the head of Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas, he said under oath, and I wrote down the quote, "Domestic violence extremism poses the most lethal and persistent terrorism-related threat to our country today," unquote, even though we've got 2 to 3 million illegal immigrants coming into this country every year. And he was then asked if his definition of domestic terrorism includes Black Lives Matter organization and Antifa, and he said no. And I guess my question is, how does this worldview that burning down buildings, burning down stores, a police officer was killed here in St. Louis, none of that amounts to domestic terrorism unless it's done by white male Christians. How is that an example of how the left has really left most Americans?
Oh, yeah. And the way they manipulate statistics, I take the Ku Klux Klan very seriously. I, as a young reporter, I had to deal with the Klan, and that was a threat. But right now, what they do is, and the statistics the Justice Department uses, if you were in prison and you joined a white gang, then you're counted as a white supremacist. If you weren't white, and so therefore you joined a black gang or an Asian gang or a Hispanic gang, whatever it was, then that doesn't count. That's not considered a racially based organization. So that's so then you get out of prison, and of course you commit crimes, and then they can say it's a white supremacist group. They manipulate statistics all over the place like that in order to create this impression that there's this so-called domestic threat. But if you ask them, I mean, I take it very seriously. If somebody is any kind of threat, any kind of violence, promotes any kind of violence. But if you ask them, please name me these people, tell me who these attacks are, and then they can't do it. They can't. They name a few, and then it just peters out because they're mainly making this up, and they're exaggerating it. because then they can say to, you know, African-Americans, well, you have to vote for us because we're protecting you from the great white supremacist conspiracy that's only, you know, one election away from taking over the country.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot here right before the midterms. We've been talking to Dr. Stephen Allen, vice chairman of the Conservative Caucus and senior fellow at the Capital Research Center. Dr. Allen, if people want to follow your articles and read what you write online, how can they follow you?
One thing you can do, I have a Substack, so it's drstephenjallen.substack.com, drstephenjallen. And or come to the Conservative Caucus, and you can sign up and get our materials. We're building a grassroots organization around the country, and we're planning on being in all every congressional district in America by the time of the next presidential election. And that's going to take a lot of work, but we've got to do it because we saw from this last election that organization is more important than ever in turning people out to vote in today's environment, you know, early voting and absentee voting and so on. So that's what we're dedicated to at the Conservative Caucus.
Very good. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on KMOX St. Louis.
Great to be with you.
Great to talk to you, sir. Hey, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I've got some other topics to get to this evening. But what do you think about this idea that the Democrat Party has left Middle America? And I could give you countless examples of folks that I know that are in academia, who are well-educated, who are clearly in that elitist category. And they tell me all the time, well, this country would be better if nobody could vote. And I'm like, what? I mean, I've heard this from multiple of my liberal friends, that they think the country would be better if you couldn't vote. And to me, that's just astounding. But I do want to open the phone lines, 314-436-7900. We are at your service here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Seeing the China lockdown news over the last couple of days, to me, I think this is truly a revolutionary moment. If you were around during the Tiananmen Square episode where the tanks were rolling and this one guy stands in front of a tank to keep the tank from moving, I mean, the world gasped at that because everyone assumed if it's China, the tank's just going to roll over the dude. I mean, it's not going to stop. But it did stop. It was the power of one person over an authoritarian regime. And there was some, it brought about some real change for a short period of time. And of course, because the entire concept of Chinese government is authoritarian rule, it wasn't lasting. And truly right now, the Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, he models himself after Mao Zedong and certainly of all of the Soviet leaders to have absolute control. I mean, he sees himself truly as a dictator over the country. And it's not a stretch. I mean, he's the election. I think he got 110% of the vote last time they had an election. So he does act like and is an authoritarian dictator. And yet we're seeing these lockdowns in China and the people rising up, yearning for freedom, and not just because they want to go to work, but they want to be free. And so many of those people who have been interviewed, brave people, have said that they want Xi Jinping to resign. They want to be free. They want to live in freedom, not in control. And I just applaud them. And I think that this is a great example of how the human spirit yearns to be free. And if you read and study, I've spent a lot of time reading many, many books about the American Revolution. You see that same zeal to be free from the grips of an authoritarian government. And it's baked into our Constitution. It's baked into our Declaration of Independence. And I see that same spirit happening now. Of course, the authoritarian government in China is in a much better position to stamp out and crack down on the people of China because it took the King of England months to get a ship over here. So obviously the circumstances are vastly different. But still, it's great to see people yearning for freedom. And the crackdown is amazing. But I also think there's another lesson for us to learn from what we're seeing in China right now. And that is the response of government to people who want to be free. Now, what do I mean by that? The Wall Street Journal, I read this in the Wall Street Journal today, that protesters are using encrypted apps. There's an app called Telegram that they're using to organize and to start these group chats and to do what we've seen here in this country with protests, where you organize, coordinate it with other people, and then you can show up at places without having to advertise it publicly. And the government, though, is using tools to try to crack down on that. And they're doing two things in particular. Number one, if you have a phone in China, it's not safe. Okay, it's simply not. The government can have access to your phone. So they're using these apps like Telegram, because once you close that app, even the government can't read it because it's encrypted. But right now, and we saw some video today and yesterday where government officials were grabbing protesters in the street. It's all on video. And they were forcing them to show their phones to see if their phones had apps on there that the government deems to be improper. And it reminds me that in the absence of security, that a totalitarian government has complete control over what you say, what you think, and what you do. That's why, and if you've heard me on this show for any length of time, I've been a very, very strong critic of the Biden administration trying to control social media. Because it doesn't matter what your political persuasion is. It doesn't matter whether you're on the right or on the left. It doesn't matter if it's Biden controlling the social media or Trump trying to control the social media. Either way, we don't want our government controlling what we say, what we think, and what we do. We don't want that. And we're seeing the effects of that type of totalitarian mindset, worldview, paradigm from a government when the government wants to control the apps that you use and to control whom you meet with. That's why in our Bill of Rights, we have the freedom of association. They don't have that in China. You get together, you're going to get arrested. And we can see why in real time, why the framers of our Constitution baked in freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of association. And yes, I know the left doesn't want to hear this, but yes, even the Second Amendment. Because if you look at what the framers wrote about the Second Amendment, they weren't saying that you have the right to own a gun so you could hunt squirrels and rabbits. It was to have protection against a potentially totalitarian government. And of course, today we say, well, what's a rifle going to do? But the point is that if you have some way to protect yourself, it makes it less easy for the government to control you. Imagine if the government in China had to worry about protesters in China having guns, we would see a much different response when you've got thousands of people showing up in the streets to protest for freedom. The Chinese police don't have to worry about the masses having guns, but if they did, it might be a different result. It's interesting. The Wall Street Journal chronicled that a 19-year-old college student reported that he was summoned by the local police to come in for questioning. And the whole point was he had to show his phone. He had to show whom he texted. he had to show who he texted with, who he exchanged messages with, and if he didn't do it, he was going to be put in prison. Now, you can sit there right now and say, oh, that would never happen here. That would never happen here. But would it? I mean, we have a government who just in this calendar year created something called the disinformation branch of the Department of Homeland Security in order to fight against people who had a difference of opinion. And to me, that is scary because of what we're seeing right now in China. Because my concern is, what could it do here? And there was a story, I'm going to make this quick, but there was an incident that happened here in the United States about a decade ago. There was a killer and a potential terrorist who had information on his cell phone. And the federal government, doesn't matter who was president at the time, it's irrelevant. But the federal government was pressuring Apple at the time to create a backdoor software fix so that the government could break into this guy's cell phone because it was encrypted, break into his iPhone to find out if he had coordinated with other people about doing any terrorist activities. And a lot of conservatives were all for this. A lot of Republicans were for this, saying, well, if it's going to stop crime, then we need to do it. And I was out there saying, no, no, no. Even if it's to design to stop him from coordinating a criminal activity or a terrorist attack, we can't have the government having access to encrypted information because the damage it will do will far outweigh the limited benefit that may occur from this single occurrence. And Apple refused, and the government took him to court. And Apple's position was, is that you cannot, government, force us to write software code to create a back door for you to break into our cell phones, because doing so would violate the First Amendment freedom of speech. You cannot force me to write computer code simply because you tell me to do it. And the courts agreed with Apple. And I was proud of Apple, because it takes guts to stand up and say, yeah, I know this guy could have communicated with a terrorist, and therefore, but we're not gonna do what you say. Well, ultimately, the government hired an Israeli hacking company to hack into this guy's iPhone, and they looked at it. There was nothing there. But in the event Apple would have kowtowed to the government, then the next time the government said, "Oh, we got an emergency here. We need you to once again hack into people's cell phones," and then it would become commonplace. Then it would become the norm. And then we have what we see here, where the government is saying, if you use certain apps to communicate with other people, you are going to jail, which is what we're seeing right now in China. So, yeah, we're not where China is, and I'm not suggesting we are. I'm simply suggesting that China right now is a model of what we could become if we stop valuing the freedoms that our forefathers died to protect. Hey, we got to take a break here because I'm getting a high sign from Matt Pajeski, who needs this break to pay his salary. So when we come back, we've got the last segment here on At Your Service. Don't go away. As you well know, during my day, my day job, my law firm, Harris Dowell Fisher & Young, I do legal work during the day, but it always amazes me, and I'm always entertained by bogus, weird lawsuits. So I saw this today, and this is something that you can relate to if you've ever made Kraft Velveeta macaroni and cheese. Now I'm not making this up, but a Florida woman has filed it's a $5 million lawsuit, alleging $5 million in damages. Because if you look on the side, and I looked at this today, we have this in the Brad Young cupboard at home in the kitchen, Velveeta shells and cheese. So if you look at this, on the side of the box, it says ready in 3.5 minutes. Well, it turns out that the 3.5 minutes is simply the time it takes to boil the macaroni. That doesn't take into consideration the time it takes to bring the water up to boil, the time it takes to open the package, the time it takes to stir in the cheese. And before, so the total time from when you start to finish might be closer to 7 or 8 minutes, but it says on the box, ready in 3.5 minutes. So she's filed a $5 million lawsuit claiming damages and asking for class action status. Well, obviously, this is a frivolous lawsuit. But here's what I think is interesting about this. And that is that the attorney who she hired, and really, and just so you know, the behind the scenes way these things work is that attorneys who do this kind of work, not me, but they dream up ideas for how to sue, and then they look for plaintiffs to use as the plaintiff and so they can file the lawsuit. That's how this is done. And in a lot of publications, attorneys will actually advertise and say, has this happened to you? If so, call us. And it's not just if you've been injured in an accident, but very specific advertisements. And I don't know for sure, but I expect and suspect that that's what happened here. Because the lawyer that filed this lawsuit, according to NPR, files at least 3 lawsuits per week on these consumer complaints. These consumer complaints like this, which is, so that it only takes 3.5 minutes to actually boil the macaroni, but because it says ready in 3.5 minutes, they're going to file a lawsuit. And he's prolific at doing this. In fact, he filed over 100 lawsuits alleging that soy milk isn't really milk. And he's filed lawsuits that vanilla products, you're at the store and it says vanilla, that it's actually synthetic vanilla. So he filed a class action lawsuit. And obviously he makes money. He makes money at this or he wouldn't keep doing it. And he's very successful. But my favorite, this is one of my favorite lawsuits of all time, was filed by this guy. When I say favorite, I mean ridiculous. Not that I'm encouraging it because it's absurd. It costs you money. It costs all of us money. But he filed a lawsuit against Kellogg alleging that they misrepresent that the strawberry in Pop-Tarts is not 100% strawberry. Like, who thought there was any fruit in there anyway? I mean, the stuff is chemicals, right? And that's why we love it. And he filed a lawsuit saying, well, it's not really 100% strawberry. It's really a lot of apples that are in there. So I'm filing a lawsuit. And most of these are settled. And that's unfortunate, too. But I represent companies that get sued. I represent employers who get sued in employment cases, whether it's workers' compensation, ADA, FMLA, any type of discrimination of any kind. I represent employers in those types of lawsuits, as my firm does as well, my entire law firm. And so I see these kind of cases on a daily basis. And in fact, I wrote a client just yesterday. Unfortunately, cases do not go away for $0 and 0 cents. They don't. So if a company is looking at saying, do I want to pay the lawyers $50,000 to fight this? Or if I could pay the plaintiff $10,000 to settle it, that makes financial sense. And they do it every single day. And even though this case is preposterous and ridiculous, probably going to get some money for it. Yes, they're going to get money because it takes longer than 3.5 minutes to make Kraft macaroni and cheese, and they're going to get money for it, which is crazy. But that's America, that's economics, and that's how it works. Hey, coming up in the next hour, I've got some stories about marijuana, I've got some stories about bank robbers, and I've got some other big ideas to discuss because that's what we do here on At Your Service. Brad Young in for another hour on Camo X. Don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.